Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. This is Steve Sokol from the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Today we'll meet the CMU professor who developed the 2013 App of the Year, and we'll hear from one of the co-founders of City of Asylum about the role that organization is playing in revitalizing Pittsburgh's North Side. But first, I'll be talking to Grant Oliphant, the president of the Pittsburgh Foundation, about some of the challenges facing Pittsburgh's local food banks this winter and what the foundation is doing to meet those challenges. The holiday season is always a busy time for food banks and food pantries as they try to provide the basics and a few extras for those in need. This year is especially challenging because of the recent reduction in the allocation of federal food stamps. This has left many low-income people with fewer resources to put food on the table over the holidays. As a consequence, there has been a surge in demand at local food banks and food pantries. Last week, the Pittsburgh Foundation launched a major community-wide appeal to help food banks in Allegheny and Westmoreland counties. Joining us by phone is Grant Oliphant, the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Grant, every year there's a need for food at food banks at this time of year, I mean, especially during the holiday season. Do you think that there's a greater need this year?
Oh, sure. Actually, we have pretty good data on that coming from the food banks and food pantries themselves. The food bank in Allegheny County is seeing an increase of 40% year over year versus last year in terms of new demand for food. In Westmoreland County, that percentage is slightly lower, but it's still in the teens, so an increase there as well. And I think it's also notable that we're seeing in Allegheny County up to 6,000 new families coming into the system last month, which is extraordinary. These are folks who have never visited a food pantry before and who are suddenly finding themselves in need.
Who's been affected the most?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because I think there's a tale of two Americas going on that plays out here as a tale of two cities or a tale of two counties. And what that looks like is that we're enjoying an economic recovery that some people are feeling the benefits of and others aren't. And in Pittsburgh, we're also seeing the benefits of an economic renewal that I think a lot of us are extremely proud of and are very excited about for the future. But we're also seeing a significant portion of the population being left behind. And you know, these are folks, they really come from all walks of life, Steve. It depends on what issue you're talking about, but they're folks who have found themselves suddenly jobless or who have been unable to find a job. In many cases, in fact, most cases that we know of, they're actually working families. So there's somebody in the family who has a job, but it's not a job where they can make ends meet for their family. And so it's, you know, it's folks who are really a lot like you and me, except their circumstances are slightly different. And that difference is enough to throw them into being very vulnerable to a downturn like they're experiencing.
And one of the things that I was looking at is that many of the people who are affected, of course, are children and senior citizens who don't really have much other options.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But, you know, I think the tendency is and I marvel at this. I wonder why we do this. You know, I do not know of many people that the folks at the food pantries that I've spoken with or the food bank that I've spoken with, you don't see a lot of people going to food pantries because they want a freeload. And often you hear people say that, oh, it's because they're, you know, they don't want to work. And it's absolutely not the case. In some cases, it's because they are children or they are elderly or they are working. But the reality of some wages today and many jobs is that they aren't sufficient to support a family on. You know, we see that very often with minimum wage workers in the fast food industry, for example. We see it in the form of large mega corporations organizing programs for their employees, instructing them on how to apply for food benefits. You know, we have a system right now that leaves a lot of people vulnerable, and they're not going to the food pantries and the food bank because they want free food. Trust me, they're going as a last resort and because they have no other choice.
But I would think that it has to do with some of the really difficult decisions that many of these individuals and families have to make. Cold weather out, they have to heat their home, somebody might need medication, and then there's putting food on the table, and particularly around the holidays, trying to buy a gift or two for your family members. It puts a tremendous strain on those individuals.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think what you're describing are the pressures that many folks, you know, most people who work for a living know what it's like to juggle expenses, right? And most people who work for a living are also in a position where they're one or two paychecks away from being vulnerable themselves. And so it isn't hard to understand what this dynamic is like for somebody who's suddenly unable to work in the industry that they've chosen, can't make the money that they otherwise might expect, or can't get a full-time job, or can't get a living wage. And they do end up having to make choices that can look like, how do I heat my home and feed my family and buy the prescriptions that we need, let alone buy Christmas presents. So it's, these are extraordinarily tough choices. And I think what we're seeing in Pittsburgh, and it's not just in Pittsburgh, but what we're seeing here is that the phenomenon of a recovering economy is wonderful, but not everybody is sharing in it. And it's particularly important now that we help people who are especially vulnerable, that we not leave them behind, and certainly that we not let people go hungry during the holidays. It's just an appalling thought that we would allow that to happen.
And the Pittsburgh Foundation has really stepped in with a special appeal. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about exactly what you're doing?
Well, the background on this, Steve, is we have we've been looking for opportunities to bring all of the assets that we have to bear on social issues in the community. And so many people think of us, because we have foundation in our name, as just an organization that gives away money. But we're also a home for over 1,800 philanthropic funds, and we have donors who give away money, both through funds that they have here and that they give away directly. And that special relationship we have with donors is an additional asset that we have. And the extraordinary generosity of those donors is another asset that we have. We also, through our Day of Giving and Pittsburgh Gives platform, have created probably the single best resource in Pittsburgh for reaching out to individual donors and encouraging them to support the community on a key issue. So as year-end approached and we started hearing the statistics about what was happening around hunger, we decided this was a key moment to put those assets together. And the way we did it was we offered up a matching pool. It was initially $100,000. It's changed. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But we put up $100,000, and we challenged the community to put up $100,000, and we'd match their gifts dollar for dollar. We included our donors in that. Our donors, because of the special relationship that we have with them, stepped up almost immediately in significant numbers. And then the community began to step up through Pittsburgh Gives. We surpassed that $100,000 in matching money, I think, within 24 or 36 hours.
Wow.
And, in fact, so quickly that it took us a day to catch up with it. We've now expanded the matching pool all the way up to $250,000, and as of this moment, we've raised 230 of that. So, we're on course to raise between the Pittsburgh Foundation and our donors and the general public $500,000 to help alleviate this need at year end. But we also hope that part of what we're doing, aside from raising the money and contributing to food supplies for the hungry, part of what we hope we're doing is raising awareness about the issue, and that cuts in food benefits, such as many of these folks are now experiencing, and issues around how we do or do not support a safety net for the poor have real repercussions for our neighbors.
That's a significant infusion of support that the foundation has really been able to mobilize. How can Essential Pittsburgh listeners get involved with this and support the initiative?
Yeah, well, the simplest way, is to go to PittsburghGives.org and contribute. We still have matching money available, so I would love to urge them. And I know it's, you know, this is a hard time of year for everybody, and anybody with kids or a large family who's buying presents this time of year knows how challenging this time of year is. But I think we would all want to make a small space at our table for somebody who is hungry, and this is a way of doing that. So I would urge your listeners to go to PittsburghGives.org, and the information about the Hunger Initiative is there. They can make a donation as small as $25, and they can contribute that way. The other way that I'd encourage your listeners to get involved is just to be paying attention to issues like this in the community and talk about them. You know, I think one of the problems right now in a town like Pittsburgh is we have neighborhoods that are doing well, including, thank goodness, downtown right now, and many of our more affluent suburbs are obviously doing well, and neighborhoods in the city. But there are a lot of neighborhoods and suburbs where people are suffering and where that problem is invisible because they're over another hill and we don't visit their community. And we all, despite that, are related and connected, and our community depends on this prosperity of all, not just a few. So I'd love for your listeners to talk about that and be aware of the problem.
Well, Grant Oliphant, I applaud you for this initiative and for the support that you and the foundation give to the community. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Steve, thank you, and thank you for chairing Essential Pittsburgh right now. This is a great program and I think a great resource for Pittsburgh.
Well, thanks. Coming up, we'll hear from CMU professor Luis Von Ahn, the co-creator of Duolingo, which Apple recognized as the 2013 App of the Year. I'm Steve Sokol, in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.